Hi, everybody. This is Kurt Clark. I am here with Mallory Beasley. Mallory, how are you?
I'm very well, Kurt. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, it was the big day was yesterday, and today is officially recovery mode day.
Excellent.
But luckily, I am recovered enough that we are able to talk about the past week of Big Brother UK.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that you didn't get all dark and weird like Helen does when she drinks.
I think it get weird. I don't get dark, and things don't get tense, but things sometimes get weird.
Ah.
That had to be one of my favorite quotes of the week, and I think that the producers of Big Brother loved that Chris provided that for them. And this, the way he said it and the music they would use to underlie, like, it's about this time of night when Helen's had a drink. It just starts to get a bit dark and weird and tense.
It's like the witching hour. It's just like every night it's like one time and she goes there. She goes to that place.
And everybody recognizes it except her.
Right.
Or she may even recognize it. But
right.
But anyway, we're here to talk about the past week of Big Brother UK. As you may have noticed, a couple things different with this episode. First of all, we are 100% Rob-free this episode. I think the seven nights a week of Big Brother UK combined with the premiere of Big Brother US, I think the plan had always been for Rob to shift his focus at that point. So that's going on. And also, not a live show that we're doing. This is taped. And given my recovery mode, it's probably best that this is audio and not video.
Yeah, Big Brother UK, it's turning out to be quite a marathon, not a sprint, as the popular phrase goes. It's going to be a long summer, but I'm excited.
Yeah, and this was definitely, looking back over this week, it was... In some ways, it seems like it was a long week and a short week. It seems like just the other day, I was talking about how I could not stand Toya. And then next thing we know, we're talking now, and she's out of the house.
She's gone.
She's
Hurricane
gone.
Toya has blown away.
Yeah, FEMA is on its way in with some disaster relief in the form of a new power twist. But over the past 7 days, like, I've actually... had turned my opinion around on Toya and was hoping that she would actually stay. And I don't know if that sounds crazy or not.
It doesn't sound crazy. I know exactly what you mean, because at the beginning of the week, I was just, oh, she's insufferable. She was insufferable to me. And then as the week went on and it kind of shifted gears towards Helen, I kind of, you know, I warmed up to Toya. But I think it's just because she wasn't being so vocal, because when I went back through my notes on the episodes, I really started raging about Toya again. So,
and to be fair, I think a lot of my Toya eye rolling was based on a lot of her behaviors the prior week, and especially her behaviors, I think, towards Christopher. Although I'm starting to think of them as there's Chris and there's Topher, just so I can keep the two separate in my head. And
Topher,
so her and
Topher,
you know, they were constantly going at it, and this time, you know, I was cringing when I heard that, you know, she was nominated as the powerhouse mate by her house. Admittedly, only four of her fellow house guests nominated her to be the powerhouse mate this week, but it was enough. Mm. And she said that she was going to strive to make it fair and balanced. And she kind of did, at least intentionally, that she tried to make that happen.
Right.
And she suddenly switched to supporting some of the underdogs in the house, and I appreciate that in theory and not necessarily in how she actually expressed herself.
Right. Well, yeah, of course. In theory, that's awesome because, you know, she was already making up with Christopher a little bit before the eviction, and she wanted to, like, make amends, and she wanted him to stay. And then... she nominates Christopher.
So the best way to show someone you care in the BB UK house is to A, apologize,
yes,
and B, a couple hours later, nominate them.
Exactly, exactly. But she did it with a good intention. She kind of, like, forced herself on Christopher after she nominated him. She was like, I don't think being in this house in the long term is good for you.
I couldn't tell. I think he was still a little bit in shock because he was nominated last week. I think then he got good news. I think he got good news. And again, we're kind of replaying back what happened last Friday. he seemed to get cheers from the outside world. He was one of the early people saved. Mm-hmm. And then he's immediately nominated again. And I think that, and I don't necessarily, again, I appreciate Toya's trying to, I don't know, not necessarily soften the blow, but like think of him. But really, that's not her place to say. And I think where she lost me a little bit was Christopher didn't want to hear it just then. It's like, I think this, you know, we had talked a little about, you know, if we play this, let's play a little game called What Would an Adult Say?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Or what would a rational person say?
This is going to be tough when talking about Toya.
And, yeah, that, or like, I think any situation in the house.
And, yeah.
And here I'm actually thinking, Toya really wanted to force herself onto Christopher to explain why she did it. And she wasn't thinking of that Christopher needed this. She was thinking that she needed to do this for herself.
Yeah.
And actually, in this case, I think Christopher actually had a hard time vocalizing. I think what he should have said and what he wanted to say was, I've been through a lot right now. I really understand, Toya, that you want to explain this to me. I would love for us to be able to put a bookmark in this conversation and maybe revisit it in the morning. I appreciate that you want to tell me, but this is a lot for me to process right now, and there's a lot going on. And let's just say this for the morning, shall we?
Christopher, you need to calm the fuck down, I think.
Yes.
Calm down. Just calm down.
Calm down. Calm down. She likes to... Oh, shall we kind of just go ahead to like the next stage of the power couple twist?
I mean, we kind of
glossed over the fact that she had to actually make this a power couple. And
right.
she picked Matthew.
Yeah, what did you think about Matthew as her choice? Do you like that choice?
I did. And only because I'm glad, considering who it could have been.
Right.
Like I'm glad that it was Matthew. I like Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew's one of the few people I'm liking in the house this year.
Same.
And you know, they had trouble nominating somebody, and I'm gonna kind of you know pushing that aside.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a good choice, and I think that Toya's thoughts for why she picked Matthew in terms of that he would be a logical, rational thinker and would be kind of a good balance with her. I think it was a good choice. What did
Right.
you think?
Well, as we've seen in the Power Couple picnic in the pod, Toya loves to toast to logic. I think her exact words were logic over everything, which is,
yes.
Yeah, her driving force.
I can see the campaign posters now.
Queen of Nigeria, logic over everything.
Ugh.
I don't know what she's trying to do with that Queen of Nigeria stuff, but good luck to her.
Yeah, and then they had to... And so it was interesting. This is the house guests got to nominate as normal this week, but prior to the nominations, Matthew and Toya had to basically nullify or veto the three nominees... three of the house guest nominations ahead of time. And
right.
I think Toya did it, wasn't sure what veto meant, I think she actually said when the rules were being explained to her. But it basically, you know, Matthew explained they basically get canceled out. And she ended up picking, I believe it was Stephen, Ash, and Marlon.
Yes.
And I was trying to understand, I mean, I understand the theory of what she was trying to do. And it's in correct me if I'm wrong. So it seemed like Toya and Matthew, although primarily Toya, wanted to, it seemed like, draw attention away from the people in the house that she felt had been being picked on, primarily Danielle. And so she was looking to pick who are the people who are most likely to nominate Danielle.
Right.
And nullify their votes.
That makes sense now that I'm thinking back, because I remember her saying something about not wanting people to use Danielle as a scapegoat, and I was really confused about what she meant by that at the time. But now that you're explaining it as kind of a strategic decision, yeah, I completely see the rationale behind that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with how she went about doing it. I mean, kudos to her for trying to make an underdog less of an underdog.
Right.
I'm not sure if the people that they picked, or but it seemed strange that she focused on one person. But again, she couldn't focus on Jale because Jale was already nominated. Mm-hmm. I'd say the other person who would be kind of an underdog slash scapegoat would have been Christopher. But guess what, Toya, you already nominated him.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think they really brought up Chris as a focus for their rationale for mm-hmm. for vetoing these votes. But it seemed really ultimately they were doing this to save Danielle.
I know. Ew. I don't know why. It's so strange to me. Like, Danielle, her position in the house and just her as a personality is so confusing to me. It's just back and forth, my feelings on her. I feel like I have whiplash.
Yeah, no, agree completely. I'm not sure. Other than the fact that she's close to Kim. No, wait, she's not. No, wait, she is. I'd say, like, the people that she was closest to the house, although we're still... she was consistently close to Toya mm-hmm. and consistently close to Ashley.
Right. So here's where I'm confused, is I had the impression, as well as Ash, that Toya was kind of part of this cool kids group in the house, you know, the Toya, the Ash, the Helens, the Marlons. I had the impression that they were pretty tight-knit, that group. So, yeah, the logic behind nominating three of the people from that social group really is lost on me, even if she was trying to save Danielle. It just, it doesn't balance. It doesn't balance.
Right, unless she was trying to cater to what she thought the outside crowd wanted. Mm-hmm. And at that point, she could only go based on cheers and boos at the, you know, previous week's eviction.
Right.
It did seem, and I think Ash even made the comment, now, you know, okay, now one of us is going to go now. One of our gang is going to go now.
Yeah.
And which seems, I mean, it highlights the problem, but it doesn't, and it highlights the fact that there is this clique system in place. But it did seem weird that from Pauline's eviction through like the next couple of days, that Toya shifted from being in this cool kids group to kind of being a lone wolf. Like, she wasn't really getting along with anybody other than Ashley and Danielle.
Right. I feel like she's kind of latched on to Ashley because Ashley's becoming, like, kind of looking up to her and becoming her little underling, and they gossip together. But yeah, Ash, once again, voice of reason. Like I said last week on the podcast, he said that she should have picked all the boring people to veto. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, classic Big Brother kind of under the radar. But no, yeah. Not Toya.
But there are people. Well, let's jump ahead to, so everybody had nominated, and there was like quite a few people who ended up being up for eviction. So you had Jale and Christopher, who are up already. And then after the nominations, you had Steven, Marlon, Ash, Danielle, Winston, Chris, and Kim.
Yes.
Kimberly. But then they revealed kind of the twist there, that to the entire household, mm-hmm. The power couple got to actually, you know, nullify the nominations of three housemates. And because Stephen, Ash, and Marlon's nominations were canceled, it basically ended up meaning that Kimberly came off the block.
Yeah, Kimberly got saved.
And that's when everything went crazy.
That's when Hurricane Toya came into the world of Big Brother and destroyed everything.
The cold front and the warm front intersected.
Yep.
That might be more of a tornado thing. I guess.
Yeah, you know, lots of weather metaphors.
But the and it seemed like it kicked off first, that it seemed like a lot of the drama was potentially sparked by Ash not realizing what actually had happened.
Right.
But it seemed like he was confused. Like, he was asking, so wait, so you put us up? Or why did you pick to save Kim? Mm-hmm. Not realizing that that's not how it had worked.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it seemed like four or five different groups were trying to explain this to Ash. And that's when Toya uttered her famous line for the week, mm-hmm. everyone needs to calm the fuck down. And and I know we you know we try to keep the language friendly on the show, but it was the BBUK.
It's impossible.
Plus, it was so emphatic and such a big part of this week.
Gosh, how crazy was that? I did not expect her to say that. Like, it just came out of nowhere, and like people were like, I guess she thought people were freaking out, but I think it was just more confusion. Yeah, as to what happened.
Because did you get the sense that people were not calm?
Right.
I think it was maybe on like the interview after with Emma, where I think what was happening was that Toya saw some little conversations happening over here and some over here and some over here. And so she just kind of was taking in all of these different pieces of sensory input.
Right.
It was registering as chaos, and she just reacted.
Yeah,
and
because she's the house leader, and she's the voice of reason in all this.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
and it was that after she uttered her famous line that Ash called her a prick, which set her off another round.
Oh, yeah.
I did like again Ash, voice of reason for Big Brother UK. She starts calling him out, and it's like, well, I told everybody to calm down because you called me this name. It's like, no, I called you that name after you told us all to calm down.
Right.
And you disrespected us. Oh, so I'm disrespecting all of you by saying this? Yes, Toya. I believe you are disrespecting all of us by saying that.
Ash, let me tell you something. Just constant. Winston, you need to calm down as well.
Don't pipe up. and he was just sitting there. And that's when I'm not going to go into like again, you know, verbatims, but
right.
He basically tells her to go away,
yes.
in not so uncertain terms.
Yes.
And it was good to watch. I'm not going to lie.
It was awesome to watch. The one thing we learned about Toya is that from this argument is that she cannot take any sort of criticism at all, and like it's. It's bad, you know, it's bad when even Helen is telling you that you're taking things the wrong way. Like, that's how bad it was.
Is Helen about to supplant Ash as the voice of reason for Big
oh my
Brother
gosh.
UK?
What a nightmare.
Oh, man. I mean, you got Toya and you've got Helen.
Yeah.
It's like two different. And we'll switch to Helen, I'm sure, at some point. But
oh, yeah.
Everyone eventually basically went to bed. I mean, I'm trying to remember if there was like any other huge drama that night after the whole Ash thing. And see, you know, Toya told everybody to calm down. Oh yeah, then there was the whole Marlon and Toya in the backyard.
Right, right. Well, before that happened, I know that Toya was in the diary room, and my favorite line that she said was, "This is Big Brother, not Big Ash." And I was like, "Oh God, who are you?"
Yeah, during these events, I think separately, both Toya and then later on Marlon had basically called to the diary, basically locked in the diary room. They were given a timeout by Big Brother. I think it's best that you just sit here, Toya, and calm and collect yourself and calm down a little bit.
Calm the F down, yeah.
And that'd be funny. Yeah, Big Brother telling Toya, but Toya, you need to calm the F down. And there was one point where Toya is pretty much done with Marlon at this point.
Yeah.
And Toya goes to Jale and says to Jale, "You need to tell Marlon that he's a sheep." And Jale was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that."
No.
Like she's refusing to, you know, take part in this.
Yeah.
And then there was even a comment by Steven where he said, "They just made a huge mistake and I'm probably going to go home now instead of someone more insignificant." And I was like, somebody, again, the idea of what do rational people say or what do adults say? The only impact that this had on the game is that Kimberly is no longer up for nomination.
Exactly. So it's basically not a factor
for anyone. I mean, maybe she would have gone home. It's hard to say. We haven't really had a chance to see the crowd reaction to her.
Right. I just don't feel like she's on the British public's radar at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like we talked a little bit in the past about how some seasons you vote to evict somebody, and some seasons you vote to save somebody. And I think this week you the first few weeks here, you can really start to see how the difference. I think, you know, voting to evict, it's really, is it the Toya hate club versus who do you hate more, the one of the people that she's been up against, like, you know, Ash or Marlon? Or if it's, you know, a vote to save, you could very likely see someone like Kimberly going home if she had been up this week. Like, I don't think anyone would have voted to evict her, but you might not have people planning to save her.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, and Steven was like totally like, he said he felt, he was like, I feel physically targeted by Toya and Matthew. I'm like, dude, like no one's even thinking about you at all.
Yeah, except for like a few people nominated you that happens to be why you're up. And I think the fact that you're saying now someone less significant isn't going to go home, it's like you're talking about Kimberly, you realize, when you say that. You're
right.
The girl that you're trying to showmance with. And that's kind of where it died out. And, you know, it picked up a little bit again the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toya made a proclamation that, you know, if Marlon stays on Friday, I'm going to be leaving. She kind of pulled a Jonathan Penner and said, I write the own ending to my story.
Oh, gosh. I'm pretty sure she thinks she's a motivational speaker, Toya. She's just some of the one-liners, like, I just remember in the aftermath of the fight, I think it was the next day, she was, like, crying to Danielle, or she was talking to Danielle, who was crying about her videotape. She's like, oh, you've lost yourself, you have to be you, and like then she dropped the line like, if there's anything you've learned from me, it's that you've got to be yourself. It's like, oh god.
And I know you had mentioned in our pre-tape chat that you hadn't got a chance to watch yesterday's episode,
right,
which pretty much just documents the events that happened prior to Toya going home.
Right.
And not a huge spoiler for you, but you know, there is a conversation between, you see the kind of the same thing happening between Toya and Ashley. And we saw when Toya did leave on Friday night that they reference, Toya says to Ashley, don't forget what I told you. Well, you get to see more of that conversation. And it's again, some more of that motivational speaker type stuff. And so it's like when she's one-on-one with somebody, whether it's Big Brother in the diary room or sitting on a bed somewhere with someone, you're right. She does take kind of on that motivational speaker role.
I know. It's bad. And it's like, I just remember she was apologizing to Ash. And like Ash was saying that how he felt completely screwed over because he thought he was close to Toya and Matthew. And then Toya was like, I apologize if you thought calm the F down was directed towards you. I'm like, oh, man, this girl.
Yeah.
This girl. She's crazy. Hurricane Toya.
And speaking of kind of all those blow-ups, I think one person in my mind that I thought was going to be a little bit of a sheep this season but is actually kind of standing up for what he believes in is Mark. And we saw a lot this week of Mark getting very upset when men are calling women names.
Yes.
And like, you don't speak to women like that is like something that Mark has gone off on several times.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and I know that came up, I think Toya said that as well during the fight with Marlon, but I don't think we saw anything on the episode that he said, like, that was that derogatory. I know he said things in the past, but yeah, I don't remember anything from the fight, so I'm not sure if that was just Toya exaggerating. But yeah, Mark has definitely been kind of stepping in and defending, just calling out people for talking badly about women and things, which is good. I really like that.
And it seems to kind of, it doesn't seem to be impacting him negatively in the house in terms of people's reactions to him either.
Right.
So it's like they listen to him. They hear him. They may or may not listen to him, but they don't kind of react negatively to him down the road.
Right.
And it's like the next phase of the power couple reign was, and you had alluded to this a little bit earlier, was they then got to view the VTs, the packages,
mm-hmm.
of each of the nominated house guests, except for Christopher and Jale, and they were able to save somebody from the chopping block.
Right.
And to your point, this is where she saw Danielle's package and was crying in the diary room, and that's where she felt that she lost her way, right?
Danielle or Toya?
Yeah, that's where Toya began to feel that Danielle had lost her way after viewing her VT.
Yeah, I just did not understand that at all, because she was saying how Danielle was like a more confident and like more asserting her views in the VT, but I'm like, isn't she just asserting her views like way too much in the house anyway? Like, I don't really understand where, like, why Toya was so concerned about that.
It's like she needed somebody to fix.
Right, right.
And she, none of the guys in the house were going to allow them, her to fix them. So she focuses on Danielle and on Ashley a little bit, apparently.
Right.
And I think it was interesting is that, I mean, and again, this is sort of why my view on Toya started to shift a little bit. I mean, there was a point where Toya takes Helen aside because she knew that Helen and Danielle had clashed in the past.
Right.
And Toya takes Helen aside and tries to explain to her, there's this woman that I saw on this videotape, Danielle, mm-hmm. and you would not have recognized her. And this was the point where Helen just started going off on Danielle, and Toya was, calm down, calm down, calm down.
Helen, calm down, calm down. Yeah. You treated me differently. Oh, my gosh.
And she actually said to Helen, I think this is where she won the most points with me. She says to Helen, I've seen you, I think she said, I've seen you on TV, you're embarrassing yourself. I thought that Toya said something like that to Helen. Or maybe I misheard the TV part, but there's a point in the conversation where they're in the bathroom together and Helen is like losing it. I'm guessing she might have had something to drink.
Oh, I think so.
But there's a point in that conversation where, or at the very least, Toya, maybe what she had said was, you're on TV now, or it's like, I can imagine what this would look like, but basically called her out and saying, you're embarrassing yourself. You have to look at how you're reacting.
Right.
That was kind of like the big end to the drama that was caused by the power couple. I mean, ultimately they end up saving Stephen, was it?
Yes. And then their power trip came to an abrupt end, and Stephen got to choose who was nominated out of the two power housemates.
Right, and that didn't seem to create as much drama as I think the producers were maybe hoping.
Right. No, I mean, it was a clear choice. I thought for just a split second that Stephen was going to be a bit weird and like be like, oh, Toya's taking all the heat, so I'm going to nominate Matthew. Like, pull some stupid, like, reasoning behind it. I think he would have, maybe, if Pauline was in the house.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love Stephen, though. I really love him. I'm totally on Rob's side. I'm on the Stephen train now that Pauline is gone, and I think he made, like, such an easy decision by putting Toya up for eviction.
And Toya wasn't even, like, really that flustered or bothered by it.
Right. She was this is something that bothered me about Toya. She, through the week, like, she was kind of, like, justifying being on the block by saying, like, oh, I want to be on the block. I'm ready to go home. Like, of course, I have to be fine with it. I have to be.
Yeah.
And I'm just not a fan of that kind of, like, you know, if you're on the block, just, you know, just dying, rolling over and dying. I'm not a fan.
Right. And although in this game, there's only, unlike the, you know, Big Brother US, there's only so much you can do to save yourself.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you have to realize that the, you know, going out there and saying, I'm ready to go home, the viewing public is likely going to see that, and the viewing public is not going to reward that.
Exactly.
So there's little you can do to actively win favor, but there's a lot that you can do to tank your chances of staying.
Right.
And I think saying you want to go and you're ready to go or you've accepted your fate is probably not helping your case.
Right, right.
Who at the end of the week, like, as you're sitting there before, I mean, when they actually did the eviction, mm-hmm. I'm going to my notes to see who it was that was saved first, but I believe that Jalay and Christopher and Chris, the Chris's, were both saved at the first round.
Yes.
At that point, who was it that you were kind of hoping was going to be out the door?
Oh, my gosh. See, who was it? It would be Ash, Marlon, Winston,
and Toya.
Danielle. And Danielle. Oh, man. I'm not a fan of most of those people, but, I mean, I guess I'd have to stick with Toya. But at the same time, like, I think we're really going to suffer a big loss when it comes to drama now that Toya's gone. So I was kind of hoping maybe for Ash, especially because somebody said that if Ash gets eliminated, Helen's going to just self-destruct. And I think that would be really fun to see.
it kind of would. I mean, it's getting to the point where watching and reacting to Helen's breakdowns and outbursts, it's now awfully close to that fine line of it's going from being entertaining TV to actually me caring about just somebody as a person. And like, is she okay in there? Like, no, literally, I like the drama, but if she's literally going to like completely emotionally fracture, I don't want that to happen to her.
Right.
I would rather like that something intervenes before then.
I think she has major anger problems. Like,
Oh
my gosh. It's just, it's to a point where it's like, oh man, something really bad is going to happen. Like, she's just going to embarrass herself, or she's going to just have like a breakdown, and it's not going to be good. It's not such good TV when it's really at someone else's expense.
Oh yeah. Another one of my favorite quotes from the week, was Helen saying how people cannot look down their nose at the truth or dare game.
Oh my gosh. Should we talk about the truth or dare?
Oh boy. Yeah. So
one of the few
arguments that Toya was not really involved in this week, but it was still a member of the power couple. It was Matt was, and I think it kicked off by Winston asking an off-color question to Kimberly or Danielle.
Jale as well.
Yeah. And rewinding slightly, Danielle seems to have become a lot more comfortable with some of the more colorful conversation in the house.
I love drunk Danielle.
Yes.
Danielle, when she's drinking, like, I had a totally amazing opinion of her during that, like, brief window during the week.
And that was just a cigarette that she was smoking, right?
Her face when she was smoking the cigarette, it looked like when she was, like, bobbing into the rotting fish guts or whatever. She has that like horribly like uncomfortable facial expression. It just kills me.
So they're playing truth or dare. Winston asks some off color question, and Matt says something along the lines of, "And this is why I'm not playing."
Right.
Kind of, I interpreted it more as not a condemnation on the group as much as like something that really just added to the ridiculousness of the question, and basically kind of punctuated the question by pointing out how ridiculous it was.
Right, it was just like a little quip.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't see it as judgmental, but...
No.
Helen. Oh, boy. Hurricane Helen.
Oh, my gosh. The aftershocks.
Earthquake Helen.
She lost it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how crazy she got over that.
See, it, and she just was basically started yelling at Matthew, who like, so why are you coming in and sit here and you know, ruin our game? Why do you even like here to take part? And he's like, no, I just didn't want to sit outside by myself, so I came in here. And you know, if you're looking at it from a complete what happened perspective, then okay, Matt came in, didn't want to play, but chose to comment on the game. So if you're looking at purely from a black and white perspective, then I see that Helen's kind of upset at that. But context-wise, the comment was pretty innocuous. It wasn't a condemnation on their fun at all.
Right.
And it's part of, I think, the part of the fun that I, my guess is that Matthew adds to a conversation is just kind of like the color commentary.
Right. The sardonic, you know, sarcastic comments. Like, I thought it was funny. I didn't think anything of it. And then Helen just like goes off the rails and she starts like doing like some sing song. She's like, always in the rye, always in the rye, always in the rye, always in the rye. I was like, what is happening? What is going on?
The house guests have such this habit of repeating like last week with Christopher to drive him into the bedroom. They're like, boring, boring,
boring, boring.
And then there's the calm down was earlier. And
yeah,
and then Mark starts to go into Helen on how she's like, like laying into Matthew too much. I think, and this is also the week we started to see a bond form between Mark and Matthew.
I love Mark and Matthew. I love, it's like a little bromance. It's so cute. Yeah.
I don't think it'd be hard to do with their name. Although I realize that you and I would be Calorie.
That's
you got its own word.
Very interesting.
Calorie.
Calorie.
Helen. But it kind of came to the surface too that there's like I don't know this undercurrent. I don't know how true it is, but a belief by Helen, and I think Ash voiced it, but only because Helen did. That Matthew's going to hurt Mark in some way, like turn on him or turn his back on him.
Yeah, like they were being weirdly protective of Mark, and I'm like, really? Like, what has Matthew done? Like, what has he exhibited any sort of like cutthroat behavior? I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, no. Like the closest we saw was I think when he was put in the box on night one mm-hmm. by Pauline. And he was kind of just like commenting to the camera that he was going to get his revenge. But I think, you know, he's integrated really well after that. And
for sure.
And you know, she starts to go at him on the couch. Like he's like literally sitting there and she's in his face. And that's when the name calling about their respective chests kicked in.
Chestgate.
Oh, chestgate.
Yeah. Chestgate. Yeah, she called him like a pale, scrawny, pigeon-chested twat.
Yes.
Which is pretty creative, if you know, I must say.
I get creative when I've been drinking too, though. Usually mostly creative about what the next drink's going to be, but not so much in the name calling.
Right, or, this is bad creative.
And speaking of the name calling, I still like the Toya talking about Ash saying that name calling bugs me, there's other ways to be rude.
Right.
that thank you, Toya.
Yeah, thank you.
There are other ways to be rude than name calling.
Words of wisdom, yeah. And then Ash steps in, kind of defending Helen, and he says that literally he will F you up. I'll F you up to Matthew after Helen kind of storms away to the diary room. So that's kind of a weird threat.
She got a timeout, too.
Yeah.
She didn't just get a timeout. She got a formal warning.
And yeah.
The way that they edited it was it looked like they were showing the events of that night, and then it cut to what seemed to be a clip from what was probably the next morning.
Right. Because she had like a tank top on and she looked really shocked.
And she was sober, let's be honest.
Right.
That was the biggest hint. It was the next day because she was not a raving drunk at the time.
Right.
And they basically, the name calling, the abuse. She'd been called in there before for Jale.
Yeah.
But this is like they're issuing them a formal warning.
So how often does this happen in Big Brother UK? This is actually my first season watching. So does this happen a lot? Like,
people get issued formal warnings quite a bit.
Okay.
it's seldom, at least in the seasons I've seen. And to be, you know, complete disclosure, I've seen the first two seasons from 2000 and 2001.
Right.
And I actually made a lot of headway in the second season three. This past week from 2002, and I've seen some of the Australian ones. People will get called in. The ones I've seen, it's seldom been about like such strong abusive in your face mm-hmm. threats or violence. Or it's been more of the like one person talking to another about a third person and using some sort of vile term,
right?
And then they would get called in for that,
right?
But this, she like part of the reason she got the warning was like she was in his face, she was standing over him. It looked like she was threatening physical violence. She was in his she violated his personal space.
I love how that was part of the Big Brother's reasoning. It just struck me as an odd thing for Big Brother to say.
Yeah, and the last season, last summer, somebody did get basically thrown out of the house, not for, well, I guess it was actually somewhat wasn't what things they were saying. Well, it kind of was. So there was kind of a side secret house next to the main house.
Right.
And a couple people, it started out as a secret house. There was like a fake eviction where a couple people got moved there instead of being evicted, and they got to watch the housemates. And then they ended up going back in the house again. But it kind of became a little bit like our an HOH room, where two people each week would get this more luxurious part of the house. And there was a couple, trying to remember their names, I think it was Haley or Daly. Oh, regardless. a man and a woman, and they were, it's one of those situations where they were kind of flirting with each other while sober, but when alcohol was introduced into the mix, things got a little bit more real. Mm-hmm. And one night, he basically got, I'm going to say it wasn't physically abusive, mm-hmm. but was basically, quote unquote, threatening her with what he would do with her. And also, I think, and there was some, the people who watched it will probably correct me on this, but long story short, he got called into the diary room for his behavior toward her. And then she was called into the diary room, at which, while being, you know, spoken to by Big Brother, she admitted to Big Brother that she had felt physically threatened and and not safe. And after that, then the first person, he was pulled back in and then basically removed from the house immediately.
I see. Okay.
So I know that, like, one of the questions that we had from Brendan Sweeney was, and it's kind of related, is there any history on BB UK of a player losing finalist status, or is Helen around for the long haul? So,
yeah, she might just end up losing her status by being kicked out of the house.
I see her being, yeah, either being kicked out by her behavior, potentially self-evicting.
Yes.
Or, in regards to, like, I think the bigger rule play, you know, has anybody ever lost their finalist status? This is the first time, I believe this is the first time. It sounded like Emma was saying that this was a Big Brother first, that somebody was given a pass to the finals at the very beginning of the show. But at the same time, this is Big Brother and anything can happen. I've seen a couple episodes of Bit on the Side over the past couple weeks, and they've never said, okay, something's coming where she could lose her status. Like, they haven't said, like, that anything specifically like that is going to happen. But some of the panelists will talk about, like, well, you know, if Helen were to lose her finalist status. So it's something that's definitely within the realm of possibility, but I'm guessing it would have to be either revoked because of a major rule violation, or it would have to be something that Helen would freely give up.
Right.
And I can't see, like, so if you were Helen and you were faced with a situation where you could, that you could save Ash either from nomination or eviction by giving up your finalist status, mm-hmm. do you think she would?
Oh my gosh. At this point, I almost feel like she would, just because I think it's been really tough for her in there. And I think she originally, if I'm not mistaken, wanted to come in to kind of redeem the image of herself that she had in the media from the whole Wayne Rooney scandal. And it's not going well.
No.
It's not going well for her.
Redemption take two.
Yeah. So
she needs another shot at this.
Yeah. So I'm just, in terms of, like, redeeming her image, then she might pull something like that. But I really can't say right now. I really don't know if she'll have a choice. Because as we have heard, like, should we go into the rumor that we've heard?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead. Outside of the house?
What you were telling me what you'd heard.
Yeah. So I actually read an article that I found on Reddit that said that the other ex-mistress of Wayne Rooney, so the other woman that was in the threesome with Helen and Rooney, is going to be entering the Big Brother house.
And interesting.
That's not going to be good for Helen.
Oh, that's like, if there's already fractures there, that's just kind of taking a whole handful of bricks and tossing them at the window.
Oh, my God. It'll be like Tsunami Helen. It's just upgrading. Level five, level six.
I hadn't heard this. I know that you sent me a link, and I hadn't had a chance to check it out. I just saw, like, the title of the URL. I was like, okay, somebody entering the house. I'm wondering if this is really going to happen, only because I haven't heard it mentioned on Bit on the Side.
Right.
And admittedly, I only listen on usually the episode after somebody's evicted, so the Friday night episode, mm-hmm. and then also just because, you know, Saturday's a slow TV day, I'll occasionally watch it on Saturdays. And neither at time did they mention that. So
yeah.
I'm wondering if it's legit. But they like many of the overseas versions, they do have a history of introducing new players into the game, sometimes several weeks into the game.
Yes, I've heard of that.
I can't remember if it's. And I know in the Australian version, they're called intruders. the intruder twist, and people will come in late. And in the, I'm not sure, I can't remember if that's what they're also called in the UK, but it can happen, and it has happened. It'll be interesting to see if that actually they go through with that.
It will, because I've also heard a rumor that as part of the shopping task where they had to do like the twerking and the One Direction karaoke, I heard that there was actually a portion called Dirty Laundry that was canceled because they were going to reveal that Danielle, like some of Danielle's past, some of her photo shoots and things like that. And then I assume that Helen's Dirty Laundry would be the woman entering the house. But they canceled it, apparently. I just read that somewhere. And so I'm not actually sure if they'll bring her in. I feel like it would be bad for Helen if they brought it in, just in terms of her mental health. Like, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, what it could be not as a new house guest, but as part of a challenge. I think you've seen
yes.
in specifically Big Brother Canada and in prior seasons of Big Brother, the international versions, kind of the freeze task where
yes.
the bell rings and then somebody comes in, I think, and or strangers come in and kind of mess with them.
Right.
That could also very well be it, where imagine the situation where if Helen has to freeze and then the partner number three comes in, just the look on her face, because no one's going to know who she is. I mean, lots of times they'll do that and it'll be
right.
a loved one or a family member. But yeah, if that happens, I can't see her.
I don't think
freezing.
She'd make it. I think she would just walk out the door.
Yeah,
I cannot see her like lasting, because I actually lived in the UK for a year. I think it was around 2010 when this scandal broke with Wayne Rooney, and it was huge when I was over there. I remember how. It was over every newspaper, like it was on the news, like every night. It was a huge deal because he's one of the stars of the English football team. So,
and I was browsing just like random tweets about BBUK earlier today, and you know how at during the eviction night, you'll hear people saying, people were shouting, "Get Helen out! Get Helen out!" Somebody was saying that the entire crowd should just yell, "Rooney." And just to see how she would react.
But again, my goodness. Yeah.
It's almost a game, again, in and of itself. It's like things that could drive Helen to quit.
And
I don't think it's going to necessarily take a lot. And it's something that I would not, as much as I don't like her, I would rather see her somehow nominated and voted out than driven out of the game.
Yeah, that would be bad. But I think I really have a feeling it's coming. Like, I just don't think there's anything that anyone can do about it. It's just such a risk casting somebody like Helen in the beginning, because they've been so wrapped up in like scandal, and it's just I feel like it's something bad's gonna happen. She's gonna just go right out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because I still think back to the launch night and my initial impressions of people. I remember that Tamara was the first person in. I was like, okay, seems to be putting on a show for the cameras during the VT. And then I think Mark was the second person in. And then the third person, it was Helen. And I was like, okay, so she kind of falls in that category of cast member who has and you see it a lot more, I think, on the Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Yes.
Somebody that is already known by the public in a certain light, and mm-hmm. she's coming on to redeem herself. And when she came into the house and during the opening session, she actually seemed sweet. And when Pauline picked her to get the pass to the final, I was not upset with that.
And I just, again, living in the UK, like, I recognized Helen, like, from the scandal when she came out onto the stage, and I was like, oh, like, she seems really... like down to earth, and she seems pretty cool. Like maybe she was misunderstood for all those years?
I don't think it's completely misunderstood anymore.
No.
I think there's some understanding that happened.
Yes, I think everyone understands.
Everyone understands.
Yeah, except for Helen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, should we move on to the live eviction?
Yeah, so it seemed pretty cut and dry. I mean, well, actually, the one big thing that surprised me, like, I wasn't surprised that Jale and Chris and Christopher were saved.
Right.
That didn't surprise me. It did surprise. I think the only surprise for me for the evening was that Ash got more votes to evict than Marlon did.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's like catching the residual Helen hate for like defending her all the time.
Right. And we hear.
I don't really see, like, he's not enough of a character in the house to kind of like inspire like booze and hatred at this point. So I feel like, yeah, I think it's just a lot to do with Helen.
Yeah. Like, I would have liked to have seen Marlon go home, I think, on Friday. Not because of anything he said or done in the house,
right,
as much as he seems to be so much in the shadow of Ash and Winston.
Yeah, he's just so boring. Like,
exactly.
He's bringing nothing to the table for me at all.
Although it sounds like there's Jale has like a slight affinity for him, it appears now.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Oh, you know what? That might have been on today's show or yesterday's show. The pre-eviction events.
Yeah, the
pre-eviction events that aired on Saturday.
Right.
Not a showmancer or anything like that, right, but just like she has like a soft spot for him potentially.
Ah, I see.
So you know, maybe that will at least like kind of keep things fun and interesting. But I did like this. So the people that got the cheers, I kind of also like take note of who gets cheers and who gets booed.
Yeah.
And so the two Chrises both got cheered.
Yep.
Which made me happy.
Oh, totally.
Jale got cheered, even though I don't hate her as much as Rob does. I mean, I think Rob would definitively basically got to the point at last week. Like, I hate Jale.
He did not like Jale. I like Jale. I really like her.
I like her, but I like her less than I did. Okay. But at the same time, it's like it's kind of strange. It's like I liked her when she was kind of the victim.
Okay.
And that sounds like a really bad thing to say. Like, now that she's actually standing up for herself, it's you know what? It's not so much that she's standing up for herself that I like her less. It seems like she's almost a peripheral member of the cool kids group now, where she's like perfectly okay with Ash and Helen, and will like counsel them, and it will kind of she'll stay out of the drama that they had with other people in the house. Like Matthew or Christopher or whoever. But it seems like she's almost an honorary part of the cool kids group, despite the fact that Ash keeps calling her names.
Like, right. Like a maggot? That was pretty harsh.
Oh, I hate when they are having that pool party fight thing and she cannonballed in the pool and Ash said something like, Jale, make sure you put all that water back in the pool.
Put the water back in the pool. Yeah, I laughed so hard at that. That was one of the lines I really laughed at this week.
That was like, oh, Ash.
I thought it was pretty funny. Like, it was just humorous. Like, I thought it was pretty innocent. I don't think it was biting or anything.
Yeah, and if we're keeping track of the Ash truths, there was another point where I can't remember which of the arguments it was, but I think it could be applied to any of them. It's like, okay, we're not 12, but we're not 50 either.
Right.
Like, kind of commenting on the fact that, yeah, we don't have to be as immature as we're being, but at the same time, let's not, you know, kill the fun and try to, you know, act more mature and above all the silliness that is just, you know, part and parcel to the Big Brother experience.
Yeah, and actually when Toya was evicted, she said that it was Helen that was actually killing the fun in the house. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... Maybe, like, in some strange interpretation or parsing of that statement, I can see that being true. Or like maybe it's like people are, she's stifling it because people are afraid to have any fun that's not the fun that Helen wants to have.
Right. I think it was just more of like when Helen's drinking, like I think she takes a lot of comments like on the nose and like doesn't really have a sense of humor if something's not going her way. So I think it's like people are just kind of afraid of her snapping snapping at them.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, definitely. But Winston also got cheers. Were you excited that Winston got cheers at the live eviction?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wasn't... I like Winston. I wouldn't say I was... I wasn't excited by it because I wasn't surprised by it.
Right.
I more enjoyed his reaction to it, where he just kind of like pumped his fists in the air. I was excited because he at his reaction.
Yeah.
And he was just he loved it, and but it's like more it's like I'm glad glad that Christopher and Chris got to hear that the crowd at least the crowd that's at the studio are fans. So that I hope dulls the edge of. The nominations. And now this next week, we have the Girl Power.
Yeah, Spice Girls reference. Love it.
So this is the one where the because it's only been women who've been evicted up to this point. It started out, it was like eight and eight, and now we're down to five females and eight males. And now the girls get to tell us what we want, what we really, really want. Do you like that?
I loved it. I loved it. It took me a second, but I got it.
Okay, it's like, what'd you do? Oh, yeah. No, I've seen Spice World.
Oh,
this is where I need a bell.
Okay. Classic cinema, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, we don't really know what this is going to consist of, except that all of the women, including Jalay, are safe this week.
Yes,
and
I was excited.
This is another example of I was excited to see Jalay's excited reaction.
Yeah,
that was nice to see.
Those crazy eyebrows are just like going everywhere.
Oh my gosh, we completely. We've been kind of.
There was too much drama. We couldn't hit. We can't hit everything.
I know. It's just one of the things. I mean, like, it's hard to take notes on 7 days of shows and keep it like under 4 pages long. There's just so much to cover in trying to keep this to as close to an hour.
Yeah.
But so I've kind of got I can divide my notes into like, here's the big drama, and then there's these like little drama things. In the little drama section, I've got the Mark giving Jalay the eyebrow treatment from hell.
Yeah. Oh, man. Brutal.
And everybody, I'm glad that nobody was like, oh, yeah, that looks great. Because it was brutal.
It was brutal. But Mark was so offended by everyone's reaction. He's like, I can't believe that everyone's reacting that way. And like,
this is last time I help anyone in the house.
And Jalay was like, I look like a man. And then Mark just reacted so seriously. He was like, I think you look like a woman. It was just so ridiculous.
Oh, so well, luckily, the eyebrows did not fool the producers. Jalay is firmly planted in the Girl Power group.
He is, yes, thank you.
And yeah, we don't really know what this is going to mean. We know all eight guys are up for eviction to start, but we don't know where things kind of go from here.
Right. Do you think people will be saved during the week? Must be.
Yeah, I think people will be saved. All we know is that the men will engage in a series of tasks to prove that they should be saved from nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And as you watch yesterday's episode, again, the recap of what happened on Friday, you see that after the Girl Power thing was announced, so again, this is basically, they go into more detail on the events of what happens after Toya is evicted, and the girls actually get to discuss a little bit more what this Girl Power thing might mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a roller coaster of a week in trying to get the women on the same page, no matter how much they want to.
Oh man, yeah.
Because I think you've got if you've got the five girls, you've got Ashley, Danielle, Kim, Jalay, and Helen.
Right.
Are there like preset groups in there? Do you think?
Oh, man. Oh, I think the Ashley-Danielle twosome is pretty tight, even though Ashley had a little bit of a problem with Danielle being a hypocrite and hanging out with Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Kim's kind of on both sides of the house. Like, she's kind of interacting with Helen and working out with Helen, but she's also palling around with Danielle and Ashley, so...
Where does Jalay stand, do you think?
Jalay, yeah. I feel like Jalay kind of is in with Chris. Like, so she's kind of not in any solid cliques with the girl. She's more with the guys.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be interesting because, you know, we don't know. It's supposed to be equal share, equal power between these five women. We don't know if it's literally going to be, I mean, if it's anything like we saw, you know, Matthew and Toya have to nominate somebody on the spot as the power couple. They ended up, you know, Toya, they couldn't make a decision and Toya ended up picking Christopher. Like if the five women have to come to an agreement on any one thing, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if each woman gets a veto, then you would end up having three guys on the chopping block.
Right.
Which is normal. It's like over the last couple seasons, it seems that Big Brother's been erring on the side of having more and more people on the block. But like the first season I watched, it was mostly, unless there was a tie, it was mostly two people on the block at a time.
Right. And was there like eight people last time? It's crazy.
Yeah. And so if each of them gets a veto, then you'll end up having three potential people on the block. Mm-hmm. But, again, not sure how it works out. Not sure. They say that each of the women are safe, but is that true? Do the men end up putting one of the women on the block, or? It's the sort of thing though that Big Brother would is typically pretty straightforward with the listeners about any twists to the twist. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to be a case where actually all five women are up, but they don't know that, because I think we would know that by now.
Yeah, and I think the producers really, like, want to get a couple of the guys out. You know, it's becoming too much of a sausage fest, I think, in there. I feel like Marlon's in trouble this week, if I was to call it right now.
I agree. I'm thinking, like, if everybody had a chance to veto somebody, mm-hmm. I think Helen would veto Ash.
Yes.
I think that I'd like to think that Jale would veto Chris, but again, as if you watch yesterday's, she seems to be a little
thing.
Bit close to Marlon, and she's having at one point you see her after the eviction having a conversation, I think, with Helen and Kim about, you know, we want to keep the fun people in. So I don't know where their heads are going to be at. Kim would save Steven.
Yes, certainly.
I have no idea. So, but
who
Daniel,
would save Mark? I hope Mark doesn't go. Like, I feel like no one would save him.
I don't think he'd be. He might. Let's see. So, you basically Ash and Helen, Steven and Kim. Jale's kind of up in the air, and then you've got Danielle and Ashley.
Right.
Ashley would maybe save Mark.
Right.
I don't.
Because she doesn't like Winston because he pees on the toilet seat.
Yes, this is true. Forget about that. So I think. But at the same time, I don't know if Jale doesn't save Chris. I don't know who would. I don't know who Danielle would save. Maybe Winston.
Right.
And but I don't know who would save Christopher. So it could be.
No.
If there are three people up, I could very well see a situation where it's Christopher, Chris, and Mark.
Oh my gosh, that'd be terrible.
That would be terrible.
Oh.
I think it'd be terrible.
I hate everyone else. No,
but
I don't hate everyone.
We don't. Again, we don't know how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
The events of Saturday should be up today, probably in the next few hours. I think we've hit a lot of the big things for the week, and we kind of again there was being so much to go over. There was the whole mess of tasks that we didn't even, you know, get to touch on.
Right. Like the fictitious words task. How about we just do a quick rundown? I'll say a word and then you say who it applies to.
Okay.
So, for example, crobotic is someone who is like a robot and shows very little emotion. So who would you pin that word on?
In the house, you know what? I think that Steven pegged it with Matt, actually.
Okay.
He's pretty low-key. Although you might, because Christopher's pretty emotional, but Matt's pretty spot on. So I'd say Matthew is pretty crobotic. I think Steven hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, I was thinking Kim, like as an alternate.
Oh.
Because she's like pretty, she's a blank slate.
No, but
like
she's
her.
Pretty, but she's pretty hyper-dimensionalistic.
Exactly, yeah. That's true. That is true.
I didn't like how, I didn't get the impression that Steven approached the task like Big Brother wanted him to approach the task.
No, not at all.
Like, I think that he was just supposed to drop these words in the conversation. I didn't think he was supposed to go around necessarily and say, you're frosty and you're chirpulent.
I know. He was too, like, meta about it. He, like, was explaining, like, oh, there's this, have you heard this word before? Like, he was being too obvious about it.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't fun to watch.
Yeah. I know. I agree. It's,
yeah.
And this was, like, one of the funny thing is, like, this is one of the few, like, if we go back to the other, I think, task that stood out this week, like, even, like, the memory task, which is actually a trust task.
Yes.
That it seems like that, and even like the one we didn't really get to touch on either, the contraband prison, the prison guard task that was still done when Pauline was in there. It seems like so many of these tasks also have a secret counter task that the majority of the house is in on.
Yes.
That they seem to do that now almost with every task, that if you get assigned a secret task, I think you also have to be thinking in the back of your head, and how am I getting played?
Yeah, I better just sabotage the task. Yeah, they shouldn't do it every time. I feel like they've done it too much already.
What did you think of the brain box thinking alike task where they had the three isolation booths with the yes or no questions?
Yeah, I really liked this task because this was the shopping task, right? The mind lab?
Yeah, it was like over a couple days.
I just liked it because it had like lots of different components. Like there was the twerk off, which I could watch Kim and Ash like try to twerk all day. Like
not Matthew?
Matthew was funny too. Yeah. I like Kim and Ash though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
was the seeing who nominated you? Was
yes,
that
that
a,
was it. That was the second part.
Was that really tough?
I know. Like, some of them didn't line up. Like, you had the fun ones, like the twerk off and then the karaoke, which
right.
they totally butchered. Like, I was so excited when I heard that opening riff of What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction. But Christopher and Jolly, brutal. Just brutal. They butchered it. But I did appreciate Chris kind of, like, coming in at the end and, like, serenading Winston.
Yeah.
That was
fun.
That
was nice.
Yeah.
And it was funny that, well, and you know what? Jale serenaded Marlon. Maybe that was a little hint
oh,
of
no.
things to come.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But I think the biggest drama from that ended up being the Big Brother Big Breakfast.
Oh,
which
man.
They all said it was Steven and Danielle and Toya, and they all said yes. But they didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I didn't even take note. It just looked disgusting or sounded disgusting.
Something called Bishop's Cheese. Which I think is some sort of fermented cheese. And then you had like a fish and an egg. It was just like, that was a really stupid decision of them to choose yes on that.
Well, the thing, they didn't know. Well, I don't know. Well, okay, maybe them, if they knew they had enough such stuff, like they kind of were I probably could have done it. There's very little I can't eat.
Okay.
But at the same time, I didn't get the sense that Danielle and Toya, like Toya, we saw her in that one task where she had to be disgusting to get her luggage back.
Yes.
She had
true.
Trouble with that.
Yeah.
She had a lot, so I'm surprised that they had to at least suspect that it wasn't going to be, even if it was either a high volume of food or a nasty food, I'm surprised that Danielle and Toya said yes. At the same time, they all wanted to seem like team players say yes. Because if I think Marlon had pointed out, if they had all said no, they still would have gotten 5 points, and they still would have, and they actually would have won the challenge, the overall shopping task.
Exactly.
But
it's so hard to predict who's going to say yes.
Right, and they can't. They also can't collaborate and kind of say, well, you know what, it could be pretty bad. How about this? Mm-hmm. How about we all say no? So because it could have been where Steven had said yes and the other two said no, and they would have gotten 0 points anyway.
Exactly.
So. I do think that it was, they're kind of in between a rock and a hard spot there.
That was a tough call.
They kind of all had to say yes because they didn't know if everybody else was going to say no. And if they had differing answers, they would have gotten 0 points.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. But they end up losing the shopping task, which sucks. So what happens when you lose a shopping task in BBUK? You just get basic groceries or?
I think the difference is, I've seen it done a couple of different ways, and sometimes you get a luxury shopping budget versus a basic shopping budget.
Mm-hmm.
And in other times you get, a normal shopping budget versus basic quote unquote rations. Some kind of pretty straight up supplies. But I mean, Big Brother UK does not pull the punches. Like it's not by any means, rigged in favor of the house guests to win every shopping challenge. Right. So I mean, it was nice to see a legitimate loss, and if they lose, they'll lose. But they, then they have to kind of take the. There's I think we talked about a couple weeks ago. There's literally a Big Brother shopping book with what they can buy and the prices of each, and they have to actually write up on a big chalkboard. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes I think they've been able to do it maybe on a computer. Here's our shopping list.
Yeah, and then the cigarettes are included in that as well. You mentioned
they have have to pay for their they have to pay for their cigarettes. And their
Now that Danielle's a smoker, then they have to be extra. Yeah. You know, order extra cigarettes.
Yeah, you think that wouldn't be the wisest if you're on a tight budget each week, even if it's a luxury shopping budget. You don't want to be creating more smokers.
No,
in the house. That's not in the best interest of any smokers in the house, is to create more smokers.
They should just be voting off the smokers.
There you go. It's like prison. You know, cigarettes are a commodity, and it's a simple exchange.
Exactly. Anything else?
No, that's about it for me. Think we've hit all the high points. We managed to kind of fill in some of the more fun gaps in between, but I think that kind of wraps up our... covering the third week of Big Brother UK.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm so glad that I jumped on the BB UK bandwagon, because it's been really fun so far.
I'm glad you did as well. I'm glad that the rap community, many people have been giving it a shot and have been pleasantly surprised. I'm sure that there's going to be some tune out now that Big Brother US is here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, you know, throughout the summer, Mallory and I are going to keep at it and keep plugging away and keep bringing you guys kind of our thoughts and our coverage on the rest of the Big Brother UK season.
All right. So where can we find you on Twitter, Kurt?
I am at Kurt Clark with 2 C's. And Mallory, how about you?
Well, my reality TV specific Twitter is Survivor_bitch. So that's where you can find me.
Yeah, and stay tuned for our coverage next weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the Girl Power Week brings.
Definitely. Should be interesting. I'm not even, at this point, I can't even, you know, make a prediction as to who's going to go. Gun to head, though, I'm hoping it's Marlon.
Yeah, me too. All right, great. See you next time.
Yep, take care, everybody.